Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson's right there. I'm Craig Hoffman, and joining us in just a few minutes, Mike Golic Jr. Always great to have Gojo, Logan. Always great to have Gojo.
No, it was great talking to him. And like, he just has a, like you said, this is just a really good knack for kind of communicating stuff in the offensive line space. That's really like hard to understand unless you've done it. And he's just got a really nice way of explaining some of that stuff. And he gives really great insight on the Commander situation and some of the moves they made. So really nice having him on, and obviously just a really nice dude. So all, you know, when you kind of check all those boxes, it's easy to get him on as a guest. So
yeah, good podcast guest. By the way, in case folks didn't know, Mike not only is obviously the son of Mike Golic, the legendary ESPN broadcaster, and then post ESPN career for the both of them, they've been doing stuff, and they have a new show actually coming out on the FanDuel Sports Network in June. But Mike also played offensive line. Like, he played at Notre Dame. He was in training camps in the NFL, never quite caught on at a 53, but like played at a very, very high level, has been an analyst in the booth, TV and radio, on top of his daily talk show work. So just a great dude to talk about what we talked about with him, which is offensive line play, not only for the Commanders and what we expect, but kind of this discussion about interior play and the value of it in the modern NFL. So our conversation with Gojo coming up in just a few minutes. But let's go through some of the other news real quick, Logan, around the Commanders before that conversation. And the tush push, that is here to stay. That was the big news item out of the NFL owners meetings this week, which obviously has an impact on the Commanders. They voted for the ban ultimately. It came up two votes shy. And then the other specific Commanders item is they announced the Hard Knocks teams, and the in-season show this year is going to feature the NFC East. Last year it featured the AFC North. It was really, really good, compelling television. This year the Commanders, Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants will be featured. So we're going to talk about that in a second. First, we didn't talk about this pre-show, but do you have thoughts on the tush push staying and like what that means for Washington, and do you have a grand plan to try to stop it?
Yeah, I'm actually like, I'm in the minority, is that I kind of like the play. I don't know why. You know, it's like, it's maybe it's an offensive player. This is probably why. Fred always says this is why. Fred Smoot, who I do the other show with, I do. He's like,
people know who you mean when you say Fred.
Just making sure, giving Fred his love. I like the play because it's ultimately like your goal as an offensive play caller is to find something that nobody can stop. And I like it. And they have to coach it. And the fact that other you know, coordinators from Philadelphia have gone to other locations and they've never been able to quite replicate it the same way they've done in Philly means there's something inherent about that personnel, inherent about the way they're coaching it, the centers that they get in there, that is what you want. It's good execution. And so for me, again, like, the simplest way is just stay out of third and short, right? But I also think that there were, I forget, was it in Kansas City or the Kansas City game? There are ways to stop it. And I think like understanding the get off, understanding the timing. I like what Washington did here with Frankie Lufo. I think that's a really nice alternative. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I think that's a good solution. So I can't wait to see how defenses continue to adapt. And again, I think the league will eventually not vote this out, but they'll find a way to consistently stop this play, and then they'll go in a different direction to be more efficient on third and short, right? So I think that's ultimately what will happen, some kind of weird natural selection. But I might be in the minority. I like the play. I think it's a fun kind of – it adds a little bit of drama every time you play Philly, because you know the game is hanging on a razor's edge because they have the ability to do this play. And I will say, like, as a Washington Commanders fan, like, everyone's freaking out about the tush push, but our fourth down conversion percentage was better last year. It was 87%. So like, we, you know, do what you want to do. That's how they choose to do it. We have an awesome quarterback that gets it done with great play calling. That's awesome too. But you know, like, at some point I think the league will figure it out. They'll stop it. And, again, like, the offensive play caller in me really likes this kind of, again, it adds a little bit of drama to the game, I think.
See, I don't like the play, and I don't really have a good reason for it either, other than like I've been trying to think about it, and people are like, "Oh, it's not a football play," and I'm like, "I don't know, a bunch of dudes pushing into each other kind of
is a football play, yeah,
but." Also, like in football, you push people out of the way to make room for the ball carrier. You don't push the ball carrier. And that's the best I can do. But I do think that like the tactics of how the league tried to get it banned are ridiculous. Trying to claim player safety, trying to claim that it's a rugby play. Like, no, it's not. Just say we don't like it. Like we don't think this is good football. This is not what fans want to see. And so we would like to outlaw it. Just be honest about it. And if they've been honest about it, I think there's a better chance that it passes. It doesn't. And now they got to figure out how to stop it.
I think that's maybe the other thing that bothers me. It's like, why are we trying to just figure it out? You know, like figure out a way to get this done and like stop it and stop it in the confines of the rules. And I understand it's a hard play to stop. But I think that was the other thing that bugged me. It's like, they were like, oh, it's not a football play. Like, come on. It's like a rugby. Like, no, it's not. Like in player safety, no one's been hurt on the play significantly. Yeah. Like it, all that stuff was crazy. It honestly felt like some of these coaches were just frustrated that it's so effective. And I understand that, but like, there's a reason that no one else can replicate it. It's because they're doing something unique in that system to make it work. And hopefully Dan Quinn, who's a brilliant football guy, can figure it out. And Joe Wood Jr. get in the lab and they make it happen.
So the Bucks have Vita Vea, and then they sign that 400-pound UDFA. So maybe they'll just, you know, get 1,000 pounds of girth over the center and be like, yeah, run into this, Cam Jurgens. Also, if I was the Eagles, the first, third, or fourth and short of the year, I would run a regular quarterback sneak just to troll. Be like, you guys couldn't stop.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Anyway, because Jalen Hurts is a monster.
And also the other thing I liked about it too was like, not so much last year, but the year before, they started running like kind of veer option stuff off of it, which I thought was a really good wrinkle. And again, like that's what it gives you. It's like it's the same thing as triple option. We're going to hit the dive. And all of a sudden we get to the perimeter for an explosive play. So that's, I like it. Again, I understand why it's frustrating. I understand why it might be frustrating to fans because it's all these people kind of piled up. It's kind of a waste of 30 seconds of your life watching it happen. But I really can't wait to see someone figure out how to stop it. And I think everyone's gonna be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't think of this sooner, because that's how the NFL works.
Bring back the flying Frankie. All right. The other big news for the Commanders and the Eagles is that they are going to be featured on Hard Knocks, NFC East in-season edition. What are you most looking forward to in getting a behind-the-scenes look at these four teams?
So a couple things. Obviously, as a Commanders analyst and fan of the team and fan of, you know, the coaching staff and the GM, I'm curious to see how they handle it. You know, as you know, they've been so closed off here, which is, I think, the right way to approach kind of, you know, the building. Keep it really tight. You know, need to know basis only. And then all of a sudden Hard Knocks is coming in and they're going to have cameras everywhere and they're going to have to kind of sift through this footage and have tough conversations based on the footage. So I'm curious to see how they handle that. Cause if I had to put money on it, I don't think Adam Peters is like super stoked about this, you know, if it wasn't like,
doesn't seem to be his style.
Yeah. Cause he's from the New England tree. Like, I can't imagine Bill Belichick doing this, because again, you want to kind of keep it in the locker room. And when I was here with Mike, like, that was something we always talked about. It's like, this is our space. These are our conversations. Like, don't go out and share these with the media. And it wasn't necessarily for a competitive advantage, but it was kind of like, this is our sacred, this is our church, right? And we're going to keep it in here and keep it nice and defined. So I'm curious to see how some of these, like Sirianni, like how does he handle this stuff, right? Dayball, how does he, I mean, they did it last year, but like, how do they handle it? I know Jerry Jones is probably swimming in this moment and the most excited he's ever been, but you know, how do they handle this, this thing? And again, just kind of, As a fan of football, I love watching Hard Knocks to see how different organizations, like their processes, right? Obviously, like specifically of Washington, but like, what are the conversations like with New York around big plays? What are the conversations, you know, in Philadelphia? You mentioned like Sirianni, like what's his role in the Eagles community, in the Eagles locker room? So I think that's always fun with something like this. And again, it kind of shows you how different organizations operate. And I think, again, I think ultimately Hard Knocks is a good job of walking that line well, where they're kind of giving you the illusion of like premier access and also kind of keeping the sanctity of the church, quote unquote, sacred.
Yeah, I think the other thing that Hard Knocks does extraordinarily well over the years is they do storytelling. And they tell the stories of the players. Now, I think with all of it, like, it's important as a viewer to remember that all this stuff is whitewashed. Like, you know, they're got feel good stories about Tyreek Hill and his wife, you know, a year ago or whenever the Dolphins were on. And like, that has been a nightmare ever since. And all kinds of off the field stuff that's gone terribly for that family. Like, there are a lot of examples of things that are like kind of painted over and they don't really expose the fullness of certain guys' stories because they don't reflect well on the league or they don't reflect well on that person. And the NFL films is not going to do that to the NFL. By the same token, you do get genuine feel good stories all the time. And you learn about guys and their families and, you know, how they met their wife or this thing that they're dealing with their kids. It's incredibly human. And like, I think the storytelling element of some of the players in the division could be very, very fun. And some guys that we maybe don't know about even on Washington that we don't appreciate their full stories. We didn't read, their write up in the Beast when they came out of school. We don't know, their full background. So I think from that element, I'm excited to learn some more about some of the guys in the division. But like you said, the behind the scenes of how guys coach, that I do feel like you get a feel for it with Hard Knocks. Of course, it's edited. You're not getting into a lot of the schematic stuff. And so sometimes people will be like, oh, well, he didn't talk about this. I'm like, they probably did. And they probably cut it out of the show because you don't really want that on TV. But the way you have presence or not in front of a room, and that's both head coaches, coordinators, but also position coaches. Sometimes we see that in meetings. There's been times where I've seen position coaches and the stuff that makes the show. And I'm like, that guy's a clown and nobody in that room respects him. There's also been times where I'm like, oh, I get why that guy's seen as one of the best in the league because he's got the room wrapped around his finger. So I think it's a really cool opportunity for the lower, you know, lower level coaches too, to kind of show, hey, this is my presence. This is what it is. And you get to see some of the contributions of names that we don't hear quite as often.
No, I think that's exactly right. And again, I enjoy Hard Knocks. I enjoyed it as a player. I enjoyed watching other teams' Hard Knocks because there's something, they do a great job, you know, telling stories, like you said, and dramatizing stuff. And it's cool to see, when I was a player, seeing other players that you look up to, you know, like Tom Brady or whoever it was. J.J. Watt in Houston, kind of the, how they kind of were able to build this like mythological character out of T.J. Watt, you know, him walking over the ramp to Houston's practice. Like, I still vividly remember that clip when he goes up against Jake Matthews, right? So there's all those kind of iconic moments that they're able to capture, and it's fun. It's good entertainment, but I think you brought up a really good point. Like, it's not, it's watered down a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different. And I think that's okay.
It's filtered.
As long as people understand, keep that perspective. Because again, like I've had so many fans like ask me questions about like, oh, like, did they just not talk about it? And it's like, no, like they have like a 4-hour meeting about that, but like, it's not going to be in the show because they're not going to talk about the game plan leading into the next week. And again, teams are really conscientious about what they are saying. Like, they have right of first refusal on that show. Right. So whatever's coming out is exactly what they want coming out. So I think that's another point to kind of, that drives home your point about, you know, it's curated a little bit in terms of what's being presented.
Curated, filtered, manicured, pick your word. It's all of those things. But I'm excited for it. The Bills also, that's going to be really fun. They're the preseason team. So excited to see what we got there. That'll come out in training camp. Typically it's like kind of midway through training camp when the first episode drops, and then kind of halfway through the season, maybe a little bit later. I'm kind of thinking it'll be on the back half, like kind of when they get back from Madrid, is probably when the in-season version will start. It's not a full season that they do. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to see if Dan Quinn and company can stop the tush push, and looking forward to see what seed the Commanders get in the playoffs if they make it again, because that's not going to move. The Lions withdrew their proposal to receive the playoffs. We can talk about that another day. Right now, though, it's time to talk to Mike Golic Jr. here on Take Command.